Welcome to the very first lecture of the 2009 teleclass series. This is Hand Hygiene, a Work in Progress, What's Next? My name is Paul Weber, and on behalf of my colleague, Dr. Syed Sattar, the co-founder of this series, I'd like to say that we are pleased indeed that you have joined us today for what will be an outstanding lecture. Dr. Hugo Sachs is a very interesting fellow. He is a consulting physician in the Infection Control Department of the University of Geneva Hospitals. As you will see on the second slide, he is a large man, and large in many ways. He is master of five languages and even the author of a new word, measuretainment, that I'd never heard before until I read it just yesterday. All of us have probably heard of the five moments for hand hygiene. It's the wildly popular World Health Organization program that has been duplicated around the globe. It was Dr. Sachs who invented the five moments for hand hygiene. It was Dr. Sachs who in 2006 directed an extremely successful hand hygiene campaign among 116 Swiss hospitals to improve hand hygiene compliance. And that program continues to be successful even to this day. Dr. Sachs's name is on a great number of scientific papers, particularly those on hand hygiene topics. He is creative, he is articulate, and frankly, he's a lot of fun to be around. But before I turn things over to Hugo, I'd like to acknowledge and thank our sponsor, Gojo Industries. Gojo folk do a lot of work in hand hygiene education. They've been participating in teleclass education for years, and I'm really pleased to be able to welcome Dean DiCarlo and all his colleagues at Gojo and to thank them for their ongoing support. So all that remains is for me to say that from the University of Geneva Hospitals in Switzerland to give the teleclass Hand Hygiene, a Work in Progress, What's Next, it is my honor to introduce Dr. Hugo Sachs. Hugo.
Hello, and thanks a lot for these very, very kind words, Paul. I'm very excited to give this talk to you today about hand hygiene, work in progress, what's next. And I'll always tell you when we jump to the next slide, which is now, we go to slide number 2, and you see myself, and you see that I almost hit the ceiling with my 2 meters, and this is also something that makes that I'm very interested. I got more and more interested in ergonomics and user-centered design. This one you can see in the next slide where I try to enter a glider plane. Sometimes the world doesn't seem quite to fit me. And as a pilot, I experienced firsthand the importance of optimal design to fit challenging working conditions. This is all about maximum amount of information that you can handle at one single moment or the channel capacity of our brain to take the right decisions in a short time under pressure. Are instruments designed in a way that they cannot be confounded? Are they easy to read also in awkward light conditions when you're flying? Can you easily distinguish the blue handle for the air brakes from the black one to lower the landing gear, or even the red one, the one to launch the canopy? Even small errors can get you in big trouble in this environment. All this applies similarly to work in healthcare, where crucial decisions have also to be taken under quite a pressure, and the channel capacity of the brain is an issue there also. The only difference might be that the negative outcome not concerns only yourself as a pilot, but also somebody else, or mostly somebody else, namely the patient. So there is no reason, in my view, that we don't apply the same amount of interest to improve the workplace according to the best available human factor standards. So this lecture is about hand hygiene, but at the same time, I would make some remarks and go into the direction of making life easy for healthcare workers to avoid errors and to comply with the best care standards. Now we go to the next slide where we see what this talk is about. I would like to take you on a round trip with 4 stops. and make this a very personal thing of giving you my personal view and experience with hand hygiene, going from the left, from the University of Geneva hospitals to Switzerland, to the Swiss hand hygiene campaign, and then to the world campaign, only to come back to something on the very right of this slide, symbolized the point of care. Now, what is the point of care? On the next slide, this is a very important concept in hand hygiene, and it's this is the workplace that matters the most for hand hygiene. So we go to slide number 6, where we can see the point of care is where the healthcare worker delivers care to the patient. This is possibly where the patient lies in a bed, as it is in this symbol, but it's not necessarily the case. It can also be in physiotherapy, where the patient might do exercises, or there might be no bed at all in some hospitals, and patients have to be on the ground. There are different settings, as you know, in different parts of the world. So this is a very important concept for user-centered design in hand hygiene, as we see later on. Now let's go to the next slide and go back to 1994 in the University of Geneva Hospitals. And there, once we understood that hand hygiene is important, the question was, how do you tell this healthcare worker, who is symbolized in the middle here, to do hand hygiene? So you might tell him in the next slide to do hand hygiene, but as you probably know, a message that comes once might be forgotten easily. And people who know more about communication tell us that you have to have several channels, use several channels to communicate a message, and ideally 5 channels. So the next slide symbolizes that if you want to communicate something like hand hygiene or any truth, you better do it in several ways. And you can make your experiment yourself in the next days, or even remember that you heard a message, something new once, and you forgot, but then you heard it again in the newspaper, you saw it on television, and finally when a friend told you about it, you believed it, and all of a sudden it was a reality. And probably it is the case that the more different the sources of this information or the channels are, and the more similar the message is, the better it will stick in your mind and will be believed and perceived as a truth. In hand hygiene, this translates into something that is called now the multimodal strategy for hand hygiene promotion. And I will walk you through this slide clockwise from the lower left. So what do we propose the healthcare worker to make him improve the hand hygiene performance? On the lower left, you can see training and symbolizing an arm getting trained. And by training, I don't only understand, and this is very important for hand hygiene, to tell somebody do it and explain how it goes. It really means training, because there is this issue with channel capacity of the brain. When you work, you usually think of something else, something more complicated. So you really have to train yourself in hand hygiene that it becomes an automatic task, an automatic reflex that you do hand hygiene in the good moments. And you have to train this probably in your environment so that you get the triggers by walking around in the same environment that you usually work and use hand hygiene. Second, on the left, there is monitoring and feedback. About everything in nature is working with feedback. You couldn't move around when you wouldn't have the feeling of your senses where you are and how your body position is. And also chemical things in the body work with feedback. And usually healthcare workers tell us they want to know where they are to improve. So this is an important second element of this multimodal strategy. That brings us to the top management commitment. And this is not only that the hospital director says, okay, I give some money to pay some posters, but it is a real commitment. And it is also a commitment of clinical leaders that is harder to get, but that is very important that there is a good example by the leadership in the hospital on all levels. Then on the right top, you get the guidelines. And guidelines is not a book in the drawer, but is really to have guidance, reminders on the workplace. And guidelines must be simple, and you must be reminded there where you are. Remember that when you fly an airplane, you see sometimes on drawers or on doors some indication how this should be handled, and that's a good understanding of what written guidelines could be in healthcare. So on the point of care. That brings us to the last element of these five elements of the multimodal strategy on the lower right. And you can see the symbol for point of care and a bottle which symbolizes the alcohol-based hand rub or a sink where the infrastructure for hand hygiene. And this must really be at the point of care and not in the corridor, as we see later on. Let's go to the next slide, where we can see something that was employed in Geneva, and that gives an active message in a simple way and unites several of these multimodal elements. The talking walls. First, there is humor involved, and this is always a good carrier for the message. Emotions, in fact, that is known in neuroscience, help to enter data in the long-term memory. So when you can associate some emotions to the messages, they will stick longer and enter easily. Then there is the message that hospital leadership was very committed in Geneva at that time to hand hygiene, because they agreed to paint all these nice walls, to get out a brush and paint them in a wild style to make a very special spot for these posters. So there was a hidden message in this that the leadership was really committed and thought it was important. Finally, there was stakeholder involvement, because these posters were produced by an artist in the wards, and the ward people could suggest the topics, and he would do that on the spot. What do we get as a result from that in the next slide? You can see here the results. On your left side, you can see the graph with the hand hygiene compliance, so the moments when people really applied hand hygiene when they should have. And this is in this publication that you might know from Didier Pittet in The Lancet in 2000. And there are several remarkable things to be said about this. As you can see, it took a long time. It took 3 years to bring hand hygiene up from 48 to 66%. This is something that is important to remember, that this is not an overnight thing to do. You have really to penetrate the system to get hand hygiene going. And the second thing is that hand washing did not go up in the same way. We know that hand hygiene is something that when you really apply it with the rules, how we understand it today, it might be very dense and frequent, and there only hand rub, alcohol-based hand rub can do the job, because otherwise you take too much time. As many people pointed out also, hand hygiene with washing would destroy your skin, and it is even less effective hand washing than hand hygiene. So hand washing went slightly down. But if you look at the figures, you see that still hand washing in 97 in Geneva took a big part of hand hygiene. Nowadays, it's down to 1, 2, 3% only. And then on your right, you see that there was an impact on infections that went down, and also MRSA rates went down. That is not shown in this slide. Let's go now to the next slide. You can see on the left University of Geneva Hospital, and let's go now to Switzerland from there. And our national infection control group, Swiss Noso, in Switzerland had surveyed infections in many hospitals for years, and they didn't seem to go down. So we decided that we had to do something about this and call people to action. So let's get to the next slide. And we proposed Swiss hand hygiene campaign that you can still visit on the web on the www.swisshandhygiene.ch. We announced this to hospitals, and they even had to pay to participate in this campaign, and we were very surprised by the huge success, which you see on the next slide with the map of Switzerland, where you can see that 116 hospitals of the 250 Swiss acute care hospitals joined this campaign. So everybody was very enthusiastic about participating. You can see that the hospitals are all over the place, except in the middle where the mountains are, and there is only snow now. Going to the next slide, the same questions came up again. How do you go about to take a one-star hospital on the top left and make it a three-star hospital and become an excellent center in hand hygiene? So as you might have guessed, again proposed to use these five elements of the multimodal strategy, training of healthcare workers, observations with feedback, leadership commitment, and these visible guidelines in form of posters or other written guidelines, and hand drop at the point of care. One more thing, which was very important in this campaign and contributed to the very success of this campaign, was the fact that we used also media. And there was a message coming from outside into the hospital saying that hand hygiene is important. And this is an important thing we understood at the time, that healthcare workers are also people outside of the hospital, and a lot of their information they get from the general media. Another element that was very important was that there were other hospitals around, and from one hospital to another, there was a sort of a crosstalk being part of a larger thing, a larger campaign, and this stimulated people a lot between a bit of concurrence, but also to be part of a larger thing. So let's go to the next slide. We had to propose also tools to these hospitals, small hospitals above all. They needed to have some help in good designed tools to employ to promote hand hygiene. We wanted to make the life for them really simple and not complicated, as I said in the beginning, being a pilot. So that's when we came up with the idea of the 5 moments for hand hygiene as a user-centered design approach to understand, train, and monitor and report hand hygiene. And you can read this up in an article that we wrote in a Journal of Hospital Infection in 2007. The challenge was really to describe the moments for hand hygiene in a way that everybody understands easily, that can be easily memorized, and that at the same time would apply to various healthcare settings, and it would still be effective in preventing infections. And that it was also making a lot of sense for reporting hand hygiene. So let's look at the next slide, how we got about this. First, we have the patient in his or her bed and some furniture or equipment around him or her, like, for example, here, a bedside table. This patient sheds his flora on the objects around him, and probably very close there is a lot of flora by these patients, and as far away you go, there is less of this flora. We call this the patient zone. So the patient has his surfaces around him, his skin, and there is the flora of the patient. Then there is all the rest of the hospital called the hospital zone, or whatever you want to call it, with all the other surfaces that are a bit distant of this patient, and containing also the other patients who in their turn have also their zone. But let's concentrate on this patient first. Crossing with hands that touch something outside the patient zone in the hospital zone, they might get contaminated in the hospital zone, and then you cross into the patient zone and spread so germs to this patient. This is the way we think that the multi-resistant pathogens get carried over in hospitals. This might not result in an infection of the patient, but rather in a colonization. Now let's go to the next slide. And here you can see something else that is very important, and this is in fact important for infections. Here you can see what we might call a critical site with an infectious risk for the patient. And here you have an example. This patient has an infusion that goes in a subclavian vein as a central line on his right, And at this side, you have probably a hub very close by. And when you manipulate this hub or this insertion site, there might be an infectious risk by carrying more germs to this site. As you might know, probably most hospital-acquired infections, they are of endogenous nature, which means that the flora is already on the patient when the infection starts, and the physiology is probably by bringing the germs into the patient, and so he gets infected. An important concept. Let's go to slide number 22. Here you can see another danger, another critical site, which is the exposure risk for the healthcare workers to body fluids. And this might be on the same body spot, in fact, for example, an insertion site, or it might be at another body site where you do an injection or where you have a wound. And also there, you might carry into it germs or you might get exposed to body fluids in both ways. So these are the critical sites that are important for hand hygiene. Let's go to the next slide and talk about the 5 moments for hand hygiene, symbolized as these bright blue drops of liquid. And let's go to slide number 24, just to remind again about the fact that these critical sites can be elsewhere, for example, here, a wound on the knee. Now get to the first of the 5 moments, that is right before touching the patient. So hands touch something in the hospital environment, then cross the border of the patient zone, and then touch the patient. And there in between is hand hygiene to get rid of all the germs that hands collected touching things around in the hospital. So this would prevent the spread of the colonization of the patient with, for example, with MRSA or other multi-resistant pathogens or hospital bugs. Then you have the second of the 5 moments for hand hygiene before an invasive or clean procedure. This is after having touched anything else, even the patient, and then touching this critical site and doing a manipulation, for example, on the catheter hub. You do just before there the hand hygiene number second, and after having been exposed to body fluids, there is number 3, and then walking away from the patient, there is hand hygiene number 4 called after touching a patient. Number 5, in fact, would apply when you don't touch the patient, but you go into the patient zone, you touch something, and then you walk out, you still do hand hygiene when you leave this patient zone. So this was the hand hygiene concept with the 5 moments that we applied in Switzerland and that everybody agreed upon. But we also delivered other tools in the next slide, where you can see that we distributed to hospital letters, training films, slideshows, validations tools, train the trainer material. And all this was very important in helping people move forward in hospitals very quickly. In the next slide, you can see the phasing of the campaign. We did a baseline observation in spring 2005, and then there was a preparation phase that was quite long, and we had to prolong this phase, and this is an important message that it takes time to prepare a campaign, and this was behind scenes. So people could get ready, install, hand wrap distributors, or introduce, convince the hospital director to buy hand wrap or in bottles or other equipment. The campaign started in January 2006, and there was a first follow-up observation in spring 2006. And let's look now at the results in the next slide, where you can see that this campaign had quite a success in a few months in 2006, and the mean hand hygiene compliance went up from 53% to 68%, a 26% improvement. On the next slide, you can see the compliance by professional categories in the slide number 33. And you can see that doctors started lower than, for example, nurses on 46% and went up on 60%, nurses from 58% to 72%, and nursing assistants from 51% to 67%, and technical personnel from 43 to 59. So everybody improved. It was quite exceptional that doctors improved as well. When you remember, for example, in the Geneva campaign of the 90s, doctors didn't improve at all during these 3 years. And on the next slide, you can see the different compliance rate according to the different moments for hand hygiene. You can see before patient, the number one, before the campaign, the compliance was only 37% and went up to 54%. When you see the moment number four after touching the patient, when going away from the patient, it was 65% before and went up to 77%. So there is this difference that you can always find before the patient and after the patient, and probably the healthcare workers have a very strong inborn behavior trigger to do hand hygiene when they leave the patient. I think personally that this is not only because of cleanliness, but you tend to want to protect yourself against the disease of patient, not to get into the same situation as the patient, and you try to do this hand washing or hand hygiene to get rid of the disease as a general concept. Whatever you do and whatever data you look at, you probably will find often this difference before and after. The other moments were in between, always the after moments being higher than the before moments. On the next slide, you can see compliance by hospital size. You can see an interesting thing is that university hospitals at the right, big hospitals, started a bit higher, but they didn't reach so high up than did the community hospitals, which are the very small hospitals on your left, around 100 beds, or the hospitals in the middle, around 200 beds, who also reached a higher level with the campaign. Apparently, in big hospitals, it's very slow to get people moving. The positive things that we learned is that the user-centered tools helped a lot for healthcare workers to improve hand hygiene and the hospitals. And the central development of this tool and the coordination helped to get this going. And the balance between central guidance and local ownership of the campaign, there was a lot going on in the different hospitals, and they had a lot of creativity and a lot of enthusiasm. And it's always needed that the central guidance of such a multi-center campaign doesn't interfere with that. But on the other hand, you have to see that everybody is on the good track and doesn't go away from that. So there must be a good balance between the two. Public and public support was very important. Next slide, the lessons learned. The risks are too little time to prepare, to stop after success. So hand hygiene as a slogan is you think in bits of 5 years. Underfinancing of the whole campaign is a risk. And large structures and being a doctor, you saw, is associated with less success. This brings us to 2005 still, but on a worldwide scale, when the worldwide campaign was started, and this was really a huge campaign with many, many experts participating, and WHO and the Global Alliance for Patient Safety that you see on the next slide with the first global challenge, Clean Care is Safer Care, that you certainly heard about. And here on the next slide, you see there is not only hand hygiene involved, but also other elements of patient safety and clean care, like blood safety, injection safety, clinical procedure safety, clean water, sanitation, and waste management. Now let's go to the next slide. There were two meetings with high-level experts in Geneva with 100 international experts, in fact, and 700 scientific references got together in the guidelines, WHI guidelines for hand hygiene, that will be soon issued as a definitive guidelines. On the next slide, see there was a lot of traveling by several high-level infection control experts and politicians involved in bringing the message around the globe, and it really spread around the globe. Here on the next slide, you can see a meeting in Yaoundé, 4th September 2008, with 27 countries that signed a pledge to engage in hand hygiene. And on the next slide, you can see that now over 85% of the world population is involved in hand hygiene promotion, and that was signed by the governments that they would promote this in a big way. In the next slide, you can see that there are 26 national and subnational campaigns now, like there was the Swiss campaign starting in 2005. And on the next slide, you can see that there are in the six WHO regions, eight pilot hospitals around the globe that test the tools that in fact were elaborated based on the experience of several early national campaigns and local experience, and with the help of all the experts gathering in Geneva. These tools had to be tested in different cultural settings and different healthcare settings in completely different environments, and that was accomplished or is still ongoing in these pilot hospitals and many complementary sites that contributed to this gathering of knowledge. Here you can see on the next slide some of the healthcare settings in developing countries that are quite a challenge to be met by hand hygiene, and developing tools in a country that is developed countries is not easy to imagine exactly how hand hygiene could be applied in a setting like this. And on the next slide, you can see the alcohol-based hand wrap being at the point of care in several environments and several fashions. On the next slide, you can see that the WHO promoted also a formula that was then given to be produced to local production of hand wrap. And you can here see a pharmacist who produced hand wrap in Mali in a hospital. This was quite successful, and this hand wrap is working quite well in these settings. It's a very good achievement. So you can see on the next slide, on the lower right, the homepage address where the tools of this global campaign can be downloaded. And when you link up to this homepage, you can enter your hospital as a participating site, and then you have access to all of these tools. On the next slide, you can see how the 5 moments for hand hygiene got adopted locally. You can see that they were translated in different languages, but also in different formats. And this is really the local re-engineering of this concept that spread quite widely and was quite helpful in different settings. So let's get to the point of care. And here I would like to tell you that there will be a global hand hygiene event this year in 2009. In fact, on the 5th of May, on the 5th of the 5th month. And this event should promote hand hygiene and make sure that it comes back to the patient, to the point of care, and that it will not only be a commitment of the governments, but really go into hospitals and be part of the experience of healthcare workers at the point of care. So what's next then? There are some issues that are still on the agenda to be resolved. And in fact, there are many issues to be addressed by research. And let me just talk about three that are listed here on this slide. There is an issue about hand hygiene and glove use. The use of gloves is sometimes stretched and people use too many gloves. And they use it in a wrong way, in the fact that they use it by putting on gloves and then caring for several patients or caring a long time in the same patients for invasive procedures and then do other things, which clearly makes them miss hand hygiene opportunities. But as a research topic, it's not only that, it's the reprocessing of gloves, and it's the question when you have a really high density of opportunities for hand hygiene How do you manage to always take off gloves, put them on again, to change them, and to be able to respect these 5 moments of hand hygiene, for example, in an intensive care unit situation? So there has to be some research on this to make it very practical, but still very safe. Then there is still open question, what is the most efficient promotional strategy for a sustained improvement? Which are the elements that you absolutely have to employ? And how do you make that hand hygiene will be sustained and not only an effect that is lasting for a short time after there is a campaign? And then there is a question about the best placement of alcohol-based hand rub and the best way to offer it to healthcare workers, if it be bottles that you can carry around with yourself to make them very ergonomic. And then the question, should you place them in a place that is visible from the outside, which has an advantage in itself, and at which places you would have to place them. So this brings us to the next slide, where I would like to take you in a patient room with 2 patients. So you can see again, each one has the patient zone around him, and then you can see that there is a healthcare worker coming in from the left, then goes to the first patient on the left, has a hand hygiene moment before touching a patient, then goes to the hub of the central line, has a second hand hygiene opportunity, then leaves this after having drawn blood or something, and has a third moment and does something else on the patient, and then leaves the patient and goes over to the patient on the right side. They're having 1 moment for hand hygiene that is motivated by leaving the first patient and touching the second patient. So there is only 1 hand hygiene, but for 2 reasons in between these patients, very important not to carry on germs from 1 patient to the other. And then let's assume that this healthcare worker does the same manipulation on the second patient as well. Now, if you imagine the placement of the alcohol-based hand rub, or even worse, the hand washing if you don't have alcohol in this hospital, then now so we imagine where this placement should be. Now let's go to the second slide and assume that there is a hand rub dispenser right outside of this 2-bedroom in the corridor where the Red Cross is. And now imagine how these healthcare workers would work and respect these moments for hand hygiene. In fact, there are 7 opportunities for hand hygiene during this round in this room and this care for these 2 patients. And on the next slide, you see how this healthcare worker would manage to respect this moment for these 2 patients. And you can see that there is a lot of ground to cover to respect all these moments of hand hygiene, where I designed the way this healthcare worker has to walk to always get to this dispenser outside in the corridor. So this is really not a good solution to place a hand drop dispenser outside. And I think this drawing shows very well that a hand drop dispenser should be conveniently placed at the point of care. But there might be some opportunity for research here to see exactly how to do this best and how to resolve all the problems linked to it, like hazards linked to hand drop. The last thing for this lecture today, I would end with a study that I would propose to you on the next slide. And this is the story about the coffee club. This is Psychological University in Great Britain. And in this university, in this department, they had a coffee club, meaning that they had a location where they could draw coffee and they had to drop some money into a box each time they took coffee or tea or milk. And it was written on this little note here, posted above this coffee machine, how much money you would have to put into the box for tea, coffee, and so on. So what they did now is that they had this little note for quite some time, for years, in fact, there. And what they did is they changed each week this note, and on the even weeks they put two eyes on top of it, and on the uneven weeks they put flowers instead of the eyes on this little note. Usually in such boxes, what you find is not enough money when you compare it to what was taken as coffee and milk. What happened is, what you might have guessed on the next slide, that in the weeks with the eyes, there were 2.76 times more money in the box than on the weeks with the flowers. This was published, as you can see on the lower right. And I think this study is very nice, showing that little things in a system can make a big difference in the behavior of people. And I think this is a good example showing us that we should be really careful to do the right thing and organize things around healthcare workers in a way that stimulates quality and does not make it more difficult. It is certainly the case that these people putting money in the box were not aware at all that they would be more compliant with this rule of putting in money there in the weeks where they had the eye on the notes instead of flowers. So let me end with this and hand back the microphone to Paul.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Sachs. It was a very interesting lecture. That last study, although it wasn't particularly on hand hygiene, it really has a lot of applications, doesn't it?
Yeah, there is something very subtle in this study. The watching wasn't very strong. It was just a little note with eyes on it. But apparently this human touch and the eyes were enough to trigger something inside these people to make them behave differently.
In my opening comments, I mentioned a word that you coined called measuretainment. Can you describe for me what that was?
It was just a fun moment when we made up this, and I had the idea of this word in the sense of, I mean, it's the whole thing about observations of hand hygiene is not very easy because it's very costly. You have to train people to make sure that they know how to register these hand hygiene moments, and then they have to wait a long time to get enough data together. And they interfere by being there. There is a certain amount of influence of the results that would probably be different when they were not there. So this is the serious part that is quite costly, and you have to invest to have this data. So when we thought about a larger perspective, we thought that there might be more fun ways to use observations, and not with the aim of having statistical data, but rather in a sense of making it a game and using rather the effect of being present, talking about it. And actually we thought about it for the 5th May of this year as a promotional thing. So we thought maybe somebody might walk around, for example, and use different colored balls each time he sees a good hand hygiene or a hand hygiene that was missed, and put these balls in pockets so they would pile up, and then you can see the missed and the complied hand hygiene moments in the hospital.
I would like to thank Gojo for their support of this teleclass. Dean and all your colleagues, thank you very much. You do a very good thing. Our teleclass information is free to people in developing countries, and we have tens of thousands of people in low-resource countries who are able to participate in this information largely because of the contributions from companies like Gojo. And so thank you very much for that. Hugo, thank you. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this lecture a great deal, and I'll look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you, Paul.
And to everyone else, thank you for joining us. And we will talk again very, very soon. Goodbye.